The Antidote meets Peter Watson and Michael Osborne of Deatheek. Guys, I've been looking forward to this talk, and I got to thank you for coming.
Thank you so much for having us, man. I've been looking forward to it, too.
We appreciate it very much, buddy. Thank you.
But you can't be liking it quite as much as having dinner in your car.
Yeah, so for everyone who's listening, I am in my car eating Taco Bell because even though I might be an adult, I don't know what time management is. So I thought I'd be home by now, but I am not. So I'm watching the sunset in a Taco Bell parking lot. It's great.
Now, you two make up half of the band. What about telling us about the other band members?
Well, my name is Michael. I do drums, and Peter is on the other line. He does vocals. And the other two members are the worst. That's why they're not here. Just kidding. We love them. The other players are John and Dallas. And John plays bass, and he is kind of the musical mastermind behind us. And Dallas plays guitar, and he does all of our pre-pro and does a fair bit of production as well.
You have to tell me something about John. John Wesley, like the theologian. Now, is that serious or a stage name?
No, so my dad's name is also John. So John is my brother. It's really John Osborne, not John Wesley. But since my dad is also named John Osborne, whenever they made Facebook accounts, everyone kept getting them confused between the profile accounts. So he had to come up with a name that would differentiate him from my dad. So Wesley is his middle name. So I don't know if it was intentional at all from like the birth aspect, but Wesley is his middle name.
Now we've got the facts. Peter, get a single you out because you're the newbie with Deatheek. So how did you get hooked up with these troublemakers?
Yeah, it's weird because these guys have known each other forever, right? Like they have been making music together since I was literally in like ninth grade. I'm Canadian, right? So I'm the young, odd Canadian out of the group. So it's odd how I ended up in a band from Texas. But basically, the Christian extreme metal scene is rather niche and small, right? So there's not a lot of people who are consistently putting out music. So more interconnected than you'd think, right? So like I was aware of who Deatheek was just because they were releasing music. And then John was aware of Elephant Watchtower just for me releasing stuff too, right? And then I think Mike could probably tell the story better than I could even, but there was Deatheek people who were bothering them about Elephant Watchtower for some reason and saying that we should do a split EP or something like that, or that we should do some form of collaboration. And they just kept getting spammed with that idea to the point where they got annoyed with it enough that they started talking about me. And somehow that evolved to them asking me to join the band. They needed a vocalist at the time and they were starting to record music more seriously. Maybe Mike could you know, elaborate further on that decision-making process.
Yeah, like we were getting like 5 or 6 messages like a week for like a month. I'm sure it was all joking, but I was tired of getting the notifications like all the time over like do a split EP with Elephant Watchtower. And I just got so frustrated. I was like, who is Elephant Watchtower? And so I looked them up and lo and behold, it's Peter Watson. And I was blown away by Elephant Watchtower. I thought it was just phenomenal. And me and my brother were having conversations over, you know, how we wanted to handle vocals for our newer material, which would be our full-length record that's coming out soon. Mm-hmm. In the past, me and my brother John had always split up vocals between the both of us. And we just kind of realized that there was just no way that me and him were going to be able to handle the vocals for the record in the way that we imagined them to be. So we were kind of like thinking about adding a vocalist. And it was around that same time we were just getting spammed with Elephant Watchtower messages that me and John just kind of woke up one day and we were like, hey, like, why don't we just ask this guy? I mean, like, I feel like he really would fit. No one would believe us if we told them that, hey, instead of doing a split EP, why don't we just join the band and do just an integration into the record? I just find it just so funny. It's like everything in our band, like, turns out to be some sort of joke, you know, but it ends up being like the best thing possible. But that's how we found Peter.
It is a perfect mesh because Elephant Watchtower fits right in with Deathik.
Oh, 100%.
Yeah. That's one of the reasons that I was aware of Deathik is because stylistically we were similar, and there's not a lot of people who are making that kind of music and trying to thematically tie it in with Christianity, right? So I was a Deathik fan before they asked me to join the band. I was into their music. I liked their stuff a lot. So it was really cool. Very cool.
I'm still a newcomer to Deathik. I only heard about you guys, probably 2 years ago. Now I want to hear is how did Deathik first come together? What was day one like?
Yeah, so Deathik, it's kind of complicated because the roots go back to like me being in like eighth or ninth grade. But essentially, me, John, and Dallas were all in a band together when we were really young. Like for me, it was high school. For them, it was like really early college. And we were in a band called Citadel. And we used to play a whole lot in the Dallas area and just do a lot of small local gigs. And we were just kids just doing whatever. And we released a record. We were really happy with it. We had no idea what to do with it or how to like be like an actual functioning band. We were just kids. The band fizzled out just because people were, you know, getting girlfriends, you know, moving out, and we have no money or whatever the case is. And the band just kind of fizzled out. But before we broke up, we started writing, you know, our second record. And it was something that we were all just super stoked on, but we just couldn't keep the band together for whatever reason. And I think that it was just a lot of immaturity and a lot of like, we're growing up and we just have other priorities than playing gigs on the weekends. But we had like the stockpile of ideas and music that were pretty fully fleshed out. You know, eventually it just got down to a point where after so many years of listening to what could have been on like your demo speakers and everything like that, you just kind of reach a breaking point where you're like, we just got to do this record because it just deserves to exist in some way, shape, or form. But Citadel was not going to, you know, get back together. But what we did do is, you know, we reformed with just me and John and the bass player of Citadel at the time. His name was Mark. We got together and we were like, okay, we're going to do the record. We're going to make this happen. But we learned a lesson from the Citadel days where we released a full-length record as like our first outing, which is kind of a bad idea. I feel like a lot of times you want to release like a few singles or an EP to kind of get people introduced to you.
Sure.
And we just did a 12-track concept album. Like we went all out. And I feel like, you know, that actually was a detriment to us than maybe like a perk. And so we had all this album material, but we were like, I don't want to release this record as is. And I just don't think doing the singles game is going to help this record. So we actually have to write all new material to hype up a record. And so we did our first song, Bereavement, I think in 2018. And that was kind of the first outing. It's almost like we wrote Bereavement, our first song, as kind of like the song that'll build anticipation for future music, even though the future music is pretty much already done. It's like we're writing new material for an album that's already done, but no one knows. You know, it's kind of a strange way to go about it. And then, you know, other life events happened after that where Deathik kind of disbanded again. And we were like, man, this is kind of like a failed experiment.
You just mentioned the band didn't take long to put out your first song. So 2018 had the single Bereavement. Now, part of the lyrics say, ethereal dweller, I am here below seeking your sheep. So you laid it right out from the start that the band was Christian. You didn't want to keep that in the background.
No, not at all. I mean, because Citadel was a Christian band as well. You know, every person in Deathik has a level of faith, especially at the Citadel time as well. And I think around that time, like we wanted to create maybe it kind of a bigger thing, but I just feel like there's like not a massive influx of like phenomenal Christian metal. And I know that might sound a little controversial to say, Christian metal bands don't impress me every day. Like I really have to seek out like the stuff that's like really impactful to me. So when Deathik wrote Bereavement, like our mentality was like, we just have to write like the best Christian metal song ever and be, you know, super deep and make these songs massive and super dynamic. And I think lyrically, you know, we wanted to write about something really deep and really impactful that kind of strayed away from the cliches. And I think that bereavement is a good example of just coming straight out of the gate, trying to create something versus just trying to like regurgitate.
Peter, you being left out in the lurch, pull you back in and we'll talk about the Deathique debut album and The Word Was God. So that release is March 21st, and you guys are great because you're allowing The Antidote to give our listeners a bit of a sneak peek at it. But here's where you come in, Peter, is that this release is a bit different from the previous singles. It's more aggressive, you know, at least vocally.
Yeah, that was really just something that came with the territory when they asked me to join the band. You know, Deity is inherently very melodic music, and I love melodic death metal, and that's all really cool stuff. But my voice is more of a just traditional death metal voice, because that's what I was trying to do, right? So it's just what I know how to do, right? It's just more old school death metal vocals. So it's like, if they want my voice on it, they're going to get my voice on it, right? So it's, I think, a unique blend, having a more aggressive vocal style with some more melodic music, even though the album does get fairly aggressive as well instrumentally. But as a whole, yeah, there's so much beautiful melody and harmony happening, right? And so much beautiful orchestration. And then that combination with a really aggressive vocal style, I think is real cool.
Well, see, that's what's cool about Deathique, because you've got this awesome blend of, as you said, melodic, it's progressive metal, and it's death metal all at the same time, all blended in together. It's almost experimental.
Yeah, you know, and you could talk eventually with John about his influences and that, right? Because he really does the bulk of the composition, right? So he's just brilliant in his own way. But as far as what I'm able to add to it with that death metal side, yeah, it's just what I grew up doing, right? And it's what I set out to do musically. So I'm glad that that's what they asked me to bring to the table.
Well, I got to say, I'd love to have us talk about all of your songs and to air them on The Antidote, but there is no way. Deity creates these huge songs. I mean, and The Word Was God, the album, has 6 tracks and it runs over an hour. Why make the song so long?
I think, you know, I might be representing John with this answer, but me and John both grew up listening to the same type of music, whether it be like Christian rock, Christian metal, and then kind of venturing into the more, you know, non-Christian music as we grew up.
Mm-hmm.
And what we kind of realized was we were getting really bored of how music was becoming more corporate as we grew up. Even in the Christian world, like, you can have a song like Lord of the Dance by Stephen Curtis Chapman be on the radio, and that song is like 5.5-6 minutes. It's a long song, and it covers a lot of sonicscapes, but you just won't find that on the radio anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You'll find a really corporate, you know, this song was made for a demographic, and you market to that demographic versus just art being the art, which I feel like a lot of music that we grew up listening to was. And I think that that really influences John. I think that John almost despises boundaries. Like, when we released Magnify, you know, he was like, I don't care that the song is 13 minutes. Like, this is just what the song needs. This is what the song needs to be called for. And John will just continue writing a piece of music until he feels like it's done. And if that's at 6 minutes or 9 minutes or 15 minutes, that's what he'll do. And he just won't apologize for it. And I love that so much about him. And he also has this way of, you know, weaving through so many different genres within a song and somehow making it all work. And this album is just full of that, in my opinion.
Well, we're going to get into one of those songs, and I'm going to make it easy on myself because I'm going to bring in the shortest song. Deathique's music is Christ-focused. The Deceiver goes in the other direction. I will sit upon the mount above the stars of God in my rightful place, creation exalting my name. Why did you guys want to look at the dark side?
Well, it's an important part of the story, right? I don't think you can tell the story of the Bible and of creation without the antagonist of the story, right? And it's, I understand people might be taken aback by the lyrics in some ways because it does describe some dark, evil things. Absolutely, it does. But it does not celebrate those things, and it's not prescribing or recommending people partake in evil. It's more so a means of trying to accurately portray who Satan is according to the Bible, right? It's just done in such a way that it's from his perspective. So it can come off reading at first, initially, like, well, this is like really evil and dark. But I think having it in the context of the entire album helps to paint the picture more accurately.
Yeah, and I think that just tailing off what he said is that each song on the album has, it basically covers like a massive theme about the Bible. And so like the first track on the record is called The Creator, and that's just a song in the view of the hosts of heaven and God like creating the universe. And then The Deceiver comes right in, and that song is basically just a massive response to God's creation and saying that I'm just better than you, and I am absolutely going to rule over your creation. And the album itself, the rest of the album is essentially just playing out that theme of Satan wants control, but he's never going to win. And I think that each song on the record exemplifies that. And I'm a big purpose guy. I'm not someone who looks at something that looks dark or looks evil or, you know, sounds a little strange to put in a Christian song. I'm not a guy that looks at stuff like that and immediately like it's, you know, offended or feels like it's inappropriate. I'm all about purpose. Like, what is the purpose of doing something dark, or what is the purpose of explaining something in a maybe more of an uncomfortable way? If the reason justifies what's there, then I actually think that you can use dark imagery to actually glorify Christ.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that Christians are a little too afraid of maybe glorifying Christ in a different artistic way. Because I think The Deceiver really does still point back to Christ when you listen to this entire record all its way through. And I hope that when people listen to this, that they see it that way.
Question for you then. How do you describe the purpose of Deathique?
Oh, deep.
that was deep. Yep. Do you want to go first, Peter, or I can hop in?
Well, I mean, it's tough to say, right? Because again, like Deathique has existed for so long before me, and I really feel like, you know, I'm a small piece of Deathique, and so I don't know if I could speak for everybody as far as the purpose as a whole, but I think one thing we would all agree on is that our purpose with our music, at least in part, is to really represent Christianity in a way that can be taken seriously with metal music. Because there's just a lot of it, you know, it's easy to maybe do so in a cheesy way, or to do so in like a half-hearted way where you're like, we're kind of Christians in a band sort of thing. But I think one of our primary purposes with Deathique is to be objectively forward with our Christianity, but also to represent it in a way that can be taken seriously.
Every artist wants to be taken seriously, but so many Christian artists put out, as you just mentioned, the cheesy stuff. But are people actually looking and striving and hunting for music that's challenging, but delivering a Christian context?
I was just going to mention real quickly that there is a YouTube channel. I forget the name of the channel, but it's a guy that breaks down. It's a two-part video. I think it's been re-uploaded because the original person took it down years ago. But essentially, he's going through why Christian media sucks. Like, he's just like, why Christian media suffers so much in the creative department. And so one aspect of the video is Christian movies, and then the other aspect is Christian music. And he said something that was so profound in that video, and I feel like when Deathique was forming, we really adopted this mentality, is that if we worship a God that's omniscient, omnipotent, like knows everything, loves everything, like the God of everything, and his wonder is infinite, and his power is unmatched, and his ways are so much higher than our own. Like, why doesn't our music at least attempt to represent that? Like, why doesn't our music, like, as Christians, attempt to be so much more than just another breakdown or just another Bible verse call out before a breakdown or anything like that? And I'm not saying that all that stuff's bad or anything like that, but I just feel like it's so easy to write Christian music in a corporate sense. And I feel like writing good Christian music should be like the hardest thing, because we're trying to at least we're trying to encapsulate like the wonder of our God. And I just feel like just a simple breakdown won't cut it. I just feel like there has to be something that's ultra created to glorify him. And I feel like a lot of people just take the easy route over, you know, well, this is just what I'm good at, so this is what I'm going to do. And man, like there's so many drum parts I had to like physically like beat my arms into to learn, because I thought the part needed better drum parts. Because I just feel like the music of Deathique should be a testament of glorifying God and pushing ourselves to the best of our ability. But yeah, I think that's kind of the mentality that I've adopted throughout the years, is our music should try to represent the absolute wonder of Christ.
And that's why I invited you guys on to The Antidote, where Christian music doesn't suck.
Why, thank you.
Oh, I love that.
It means the world to us.
What do you guys think? Are we actually going to have time for one of the monster songs? And the Word Was God closes with The Coronation, 13 minutes long. It's a beautiful worship song, but drawing the lyrics from Revelation, I mean, that's not too typical, even for Christian artists.
Yeah. I think one of the reasons it's not typical is because it's a book of the Bible with so many different views, right? People have a lot of opinions on what Revelation means and what the symbolism represents and things like that. So it's just a difficult task from the onset. And I really would have never chosen to write a song about that had John not instructed me to for this album, right? So like it was one of those things where it's like, I've got to do it. The album's written. He's got the idea for it. So when he sent me that song, he had the chorus written and then a section after that, right? And then not really much else. So I kind of wanted to just follow the book of Revelation from front to back, essentially, in a descriptive way.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the way that the book is written, right? Where I just am describing what is happening and what John is seeing in his visions, but without hitting too hard on any one theological point, right? I wanted the song to also be as accessible to as many different Christians as possible, right? Because different denominations believe all these different things about, you know, I don't want to get into it, right? At the risk of upsetting somebody. So I just wanted to, in a descriptive way, describe what was being told, what John is seeing, and really, it's really just a retelling of the book of Revelation. If you read the lyrics next to the scripture itself, you would see how closely they do follow along. It's the same thing with like the creator. It's very much following verse for verse, almost the first two chapters of Genesis, right? And just kind of as a retelling of that without trying to hit too hard on any theological points that might be divisive, just for accessibility's sake.
Do you think that The Coronation is the perfect summation for the whole album?
I definitely think it ties it all up well. I mean, musically speaking, like this album is just crazy the way John wrote it. There's so many different callbacks and self-references. So the more you listen to it, the more you catch different things every time, right? And so The Coronation is a great example of that, where it's filled with all kinds of different little secrets and Easter eggs that you'll catch. So it's really well written from that perspective. And I do what I can with the lyrics. I try my best.
You know, even though And the Word Was God hasn't released yet, I'm ready to hear about what's coming next. Now, I got to know, have you guys ever given any thought to recording a single 60-minute long song?
It has not been brought up, but you know, we might just be that band that does it just to do it, just to, you know, just to say that we did. But we haven't thought about an hour long song, but man, that would be a lot of fun.
I want to bring it up with John right after this to see if he loves or hates the idea.
It's like when the sound dude says one more song and we say, okay, we got one more for you. We just play that one. And then the venue just hates us. That'd be funny.
Michael, Peter, I got to thank you guys for coming for this talk with The Antidote.
Oh, thank you for having us on, man.
Yeah, this was awesome.